We're going to talk about worship today. And you might be thinking, yeah, Pastor Tosh, like, we know worship. We come to church, like, on Sunday. Like, we're worshiping. We just did praise and worship. And yeah, that's good. I want to talk about worship within our lives, not just on a Sunday morning. Worship isn't just a Sunday morning thing or when you come to a worship service. Worship, we talk a lot about prayer and about our prayer lives and about having prayer within our lives, about reading the Bible, about all those good things that help you bring closer to God. But what about worship? What about worship with just you and Jesus? And in your prayer life, you have a little bit of that, but just sitting before Jesus and worshiping, just going before God, and incorporating that in your life and being intentional about that, building it to be continuous within your life, and allowing yourself to be present in the moment to have spontaneous worship moments as well. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And so I'm going to start and end with some questions today. I'm probably going to leave you with more questions that you have to answer for yourself than give you answers this morning. It's a way of learning as well. And my worship life is going to be different than your worship life, just like my prayer life is going to be different, because my relationship with God is different than your relationship with God, because we're all unique. Just like with each other in this room, our relationships are different with each other. Are you feeling intentional today? Are you feeling spontaneous? Like maybe you just woke up like, oh, yeah, I'll go to church. Are you feeling committed today? Maybe you're just here or tuned in because you're committed to come to church. And man, the bed was feeling really good. I could stay in my PJs. But you're like, no, I've committed to go. And that's good too. Some of you are a bit skeptical right now and you're being, okay, these three questions, are they in general or are they about something in particular? The questions are for overall. Overall, sometimes we're more intentional in a day, sometimes we're more spontaneous, and sometimes we're just got to be committed. And then also, in particular, in your worship life, I ask this question in your worship life, or these questions. For me today, I'm feeling and exhibiting commitment. I am exhausted. I am tired. I really could have stayed in bed today, and that is not something that I say very often, because if I am not up before 6 o'clock, I feel like I just lost the day. If I am not up and going by then, I really have a hard time and feel like I just wasted this day. And so Pastor Jamie can attest, I do not sleep. Like, if I sleep in, it's like till 7 maybe. It just makes me feel like I just lost the day and now I'm like way behind on whatever it is. I've been working really hard lately. I'm at the end. And so I'm very committed today and I'm very intentional because I'm tired. So my brain has to like be on super intentional mode so that I can listen to people as I'm talking to people through this morning, so I can speak, so I can be in tune with God. Awareness of where you are in a given day or a given period in your life can make the difference, can make a world of difference in how you go about your day. Jamie and I, early on in our relationship, before we got married, decided to go to marriage counseling so we can learn to communicate better. And I was not a very good communicator back in the day. I was very close. We learned something called HALT, and we've added to it. We now call it CHALT. And HALT is, and what that means is if we're irritated with each other and we're not communicating, we're not hitting each other, it's probably because we're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or in our case, we do have a problem with caffeine. We need caffeine, so we added the C, so we have CHALT. And I will say we're getting better, but there are times where we do not intend to eat at Carmelita's, but as soon as we get in the car, we're talking past each other. And so we know we need to head to Carmelita's and get those chips and salsa on the table. And we were literally stopped talking Like, if we start, like, just talking past each other and getting frustrated for what appears to be no reason, we will literally chalt or halt. And we will get to the table, get our chips and salsa, start going, and then we're back at it. And guess what? It's okay. It's awareness of where you are. It's okay to be angry, lonely, tired, needing caffeine, needing whatever. It's okay to be tired. But being aware of where you are helps you be present where you are in the way that you want to be, in the way that you intend to be. And worship is the same way. Your prayer life, you fill in the blank. We're going to talk about worship today there. It's the same way. Sometimes it's difficult to get down on your knees. You're tired. Maybe you're fearful if you get down there, you're going to take a nap. Maybe that's what you need. Right? Sometimes it's... Because what happens sometimes if we don't push through and do things just because we're feeling something, then the devil gets really busy up in there, doesn't he? Yeah. The devil gets busy, and then, oh, you wasted the day. Oh, you didn't do what you were going to do. You said you were going to do. Oh, see, it's not important to you to worship God. How important is this dude? How about we start doing some other things? See, and so it's important for us to be aware of where we are. I think that's part of, like, embedding worship, embedding whatever in your life, and being okay with that. And then you got to pull on, like, it's okay to be spontaneous and take a minute and, like, worship as the angels came to the shepherds. And all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, let's worship. And there's, like, a host of angels that just pop up, and we're going to read about that. Spontaneous worship. And then you've got the wise men that are very intentional. They've been seeking, they've been studying, they've been yearning to figure out who the true king is. They're very intentional. They're very committed. And you can go through the characters of the Bible, Bible study. It's Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. You're welcome. We're going through the characters of Christmas. There's always a moment when you go through the Christmas story where one of those characters worships. Ezekiel needs some quiet time before he gets to do that. He needed a little push to figure out his awareness of where he was and that his faith life needed a little bit of extra something. The wise men need to be intentional about it. Mary, she worshiped right away when she said, whatever you say, do it. And then she went and then she worshiped with, not Martha. That's a different Mary. With Elizabeth. And you can see that, right? You see these different examples of, like, when somebody worships. The shepherds, they just watched the worship, it seemed, went to go see baby Jesus, and then worshiped there, and then told everybody, and then went back to their flocks worshiping. Okay, I went totally off book, and I covered everything. Okay. So let's read. We're going to first start in Luke 2, 1 through 20. I've actually got it in order for my Bible followers on the screen for you. Well, one more thing. Worship is a powerful tool. It takes you beyond yourself, putting the glory and gratitude where it should go. In the midst of whatever, it's another tool that God gives us in our wheelhouse that is focused on God but ends up coming back to us. Always. Like, God is always, like, setting up things that, like, come back to care for us. So in Luke 2, we're going to read about these shepherds and angels worshiping. At that time in the Roman Empire, Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius, all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for their census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. Meaning you can see the pregnancy. She's further into the trimesters where you can see. So this is after she visited Elizabeth. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there was shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angels had told them. Worship is contagious. That's what I get out of this sucker. Worship is contagious. First there was one angel. Then there was a whole host of army of angels. Then the shepherds are like, we went in, but they needed a moment, right? They needed a moment to kind of see, so they went and saw. And then they burst at the seams, worshiping, praising God, telling everybody that would hear. And I'm thinking some people that didn't really want to hear, they also told them. And then this whole thing happens, and they still go back to their flocks. And the little sheeps and lambs are like, what is into these folks? They're just dancing around, praising. Spontaneous and intentional, all at the same time. Allow in your lives spontaneity of worship. Don't put worship in a little bubble that is only compartmentalized in certain parts. When we flip over to Matthew, so wise men didn't make Luke, they're in Matthew, so we got to go to Matthew to find out about the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12, we're going to check out these guys. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod, and about that time some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men and learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too.'" That's sarcasm, just by the way, for those that don't need King Herod. He's the one character of Christmas. Like, I talked to you, like, see it all. This guy is not. That's a falsity. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And those that aren't familiar, it's because Herod was threatened by Jesus, because who is this king that's going to be kings of all kings? And he does horrible things and kills a bunch of babies that would have been in the time frame of Jesus. So he didn't really want to worship. Just fill in the blank there. But let's talk about these wise men. The wise men spent many years studying. They put effort into seeking and understanding what they studied meant. They traveled far. They were from the east. They were far away. They traveled far to worship Jesus. And from what we know, these guys, they weren't Jewish. They weren't from the Israelite clan. But they wanted to come worship, and they knew who Jesus was. They were intentional and committed to seeking and finding and understanding so that they were worshiping Jesus, the one true King, Savior, to come into the world. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. That was Luke 2:14. Now, what you might not think we're going to flip to of a Christmas story is in going to Luke 19. This is actually towards the end of Jesus' life. But check out, we're going to read the story in a second, but check out a part. So in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Later on, as Jesus is riding on a colt into Jerusalem over Passover week, something we know is Holy Week, riding it on a colt, knowing what's about to come with the accusations, the people spontaneously break out in worship. And listen to what they say. Blessings on the King who comes, and in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Very, very close to what that host of angels said 33 years ago amongst the flock in the field with the shepherds. So let's move up to Jesus' timeline on earth. He enters into Jerusalem, beginning what we refer to as Holy Week. I said that. His final week before Jesus gives his life for us, physically on earth. He's got the people's attention with the miracles. Good, bad, and indifferent attention. We've got some people that aren't very happy with it because they're being threatened. We've got some people that have been waiting a long time for a Savior, and they see that these miracles are a way to build up hope and to prove who he is. And then we've got some people that are just happy to have a miracle. They don't really understand it. They're sitting in the middle. They're kind of on the fence. As long as this guy keeps producing, maybe I'll keep following him. But the moment he doesn't produce these miracles or maybe pass them on to me, there's some people that struggled, like, I want your power. So you've got people at all different spectrums here. And Jesus is walking in into Jerusalem right now. 19. Where are we at? Oh, that's my problem. It's chapter 19, verse 28. I'm looking for verse 19. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of the disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are untying the colt, just say the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of them. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things just like that. He replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst out in cheers. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace, but now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation. This is packed with a lot, Imagine going into Jerusalem for the Passover festivities, because that's what they were headed there for. People didn't know they were headed to witness Jesus be accused and go and be the living sacrifice for us. They were going for Passover. They were going for tradition. They were going to celebrate that they were exiled from Egypt many, 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 many years ago. And all of a sudden, Jesus, this man of miracles, Jesus, this person of unconditional kindness, comes riding in on a colt. And for a moment, I think folks have clarity of who Jesus is. Remember the gamut? The naysayers to the we've got it, and then the all in between? I like to think for a moment, everybody got it. They might not have been happy about it, but I think for a moment, everybody got it, and they started throwing their garments. The Pharisees are now, they get it too, right? It's why they're trying to mute Jesus one more time. For a moment, all these people start throwing their garments, start praising Jesus, and saying something that I don't think some of them recognize, and I think in a moment they're not going to know it anymore, because the Bible tells us that they just could not understand these things until after Jesus passed. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. The King of the Kings. They burst out in this spontaneous worship along the road, throwing their garments, praising God. That moment is beautiful. I used to cry over that moment, and I thought it was a terrible moment because all these people are going to turn their backs on God in a couple days. But now I think it's a beautiful moment. You know why? Because they just didn't know, and the prophecies had to come true, and somebody had to turn the tables and be the bad guy, if you will, in the story. And the other thing, church, is recovering perfectionist and self-punisher. You've got to, like, you have to celebrate the moments, because you're not going to do it right in every single moment. So to me, now this is a beautiful moment. I had to work through that for many years. As like, how can they be for Jesus one day and then be against Jesus the next? But don't we do that too? And that's back to the beginning of your self-awareness of how you show up. So you can show up how you want to show up and not allow your tiredness, your loneliness, your angry, fill in the blank, overshadow the character that you want to exhibit. And that's where worship can help us. Because if we're worshiping God, if we're pulling gratitude into our life on a regular basis, then we refocus out of the circumstance. We can work through those emotions better because now we've invited Jesus to help work through those things. And we can take the minutes that we need. I do want you to remember that sometimes maybe if you're talking past each other or you can't talk kindly to one another, just stop talking. Get your chips and salsa. Right? Now take that to a spiritual level. Your chips and salsa could be a moment of worship. It could be a moment of prayer. It could be a moment of calling an accountability partner. Look around this room. Look at all these accountability partners we have to pray for one another, to worship with each other, to learn together. So it is a beautiful moment, regardless of what happens next. This is a beautiful moment. Imagine Jesus coming in. And still humbly, right? Like throwing garments and riding on a full, the adult donkey or horse, that's like, you imagine the king coming in, like, right? So he's coming in as a king, but still on a colt. He came in as a baby, and now he's riding in on a colt, symbolizing that he is king, but still humble. What a beautiful moment. Church, how's your worship life? I told you I was going to come back with questions for you. How is your worship life? Do you take time to worship just within your life? Are you intentional about just praising God for who God is? Are you present and aware of God's workings in order to see the glory of God to spontaneously break out in praise and worship? I can't wait to get like a report of like somebody in the grocery store or something, and like you see God show up and then you have to like do a little dance or something. Like however you want to spontaneously break out, it's fine. Do you continuously seek the Lord in your life? These folks, these characters of Christmas, they're ordinary folks doing their daily lives. Angel shows up to Mary. Dream comes to Joseph. Angels show up to the shepherds. Like moments happen. Be aware of them. Capture those moments. Be present in them. Celebrate them. Worship. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And peace on earth to those who please God. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here today, God, to have this time to learn and to worship together, to praise together, God, to glorify you, God, to remember this moment, God, and whatever happens next, to not diminish this moment of worship and just sitting at your feet, but to cherish that moment and remember it and have it be a moment that helps us with the next one and the next one and the next one, God. Help us to intentionally, continuously, and spontaneously worship you within our lives. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.